As you're turning there, I'd like to just go ahead and thank you all again for the chance to be here. It certainly is a privilege, and we've certainly been blessed in our time here. Well, certainly one of the greatest blessings of getting to do deputation is traveling and going to churches that, you know, still believe the truth, still love the Lord, and still stand fast on God's word, and certainly a great blessing that we get to meet you all and be here this Sunday. If you would look in Matthew chapter number 5, a very familiar passage, let's look in verse number 14. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your many blessings. Lord, we just want to thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, most of all, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ, who came to this world and went to that old rugged cross and died for our sins so that we could be saved, so that we could have hope, so that we could have a home in heaven one day with you. Lord, we want to just thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your word and thank you for your truth. I ask for your help tonight as I stand to preach your word. Lord, that you'd help me to say only those things that are honoring and pleasing to you, that we could be a blessing and help to your people tonight, and we bring honor and glory to your name. We love you so much. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you look in this passage, it's certainly very familiar, but I just like that these are some of the words of Jesus, really talking to people in this day, really encouraging them to be a light. And if Jesus took the time to tell them to be a light, I think that we could take the words to heart today that we should be a light for Jesus Christ. I was thinking about just a few months ago, I was in Mozambique. I was there with a few men. We were there on a survey trip, and we were driving throughout the city. We were on a mission. We had been told, hey, there are no churches hardly at all here that preach the gospel, which, you know, certainly I believe that's true. We were in the capital city, over 3 million people, and certainly there's a great need for more churches there that preach the truth. But we've been told that there's really none, which we shouldn't believe everything we hear, right? So we're driving through the city. We're driving in some of the streets and neighborhoods. And as we're driving through, we found a little Baptist church. And we just so happened, when we pulled up, and we walked inside, and there was a man there. He was the pastor. And we started talking to him. He knew English. And I was pretty excited that this man, he really loves the Lord. He's got his doctrine right. He seemed to be really straight on God's word and the truth. That was awesome. It was like a Mozambican man here pastoring a church that was doing a good work. And as we were talking to him, we said, hey, are there any other churches that you know of that are doing right, that are preaching the truth, preaching God's word? He said, well, I know another church just, you know, a few miles away in this area. But he said, that's it. That's all I know on this side of the city. He said, we really need at least 10 or 15 more churches right here. And I just thought, you know, it's amazing that we found someone, but there's a man that knows. He's there. He lived there, grew up there. And he knows that they need more churches. He knows there's a great need in that area. After we left, we were driving back towards our hotel, and there was this massive roundabout. It was like a center point, a hub for marketplaces and things like that. And as we pulled up to this roundabout, I want to say that there was 1,000 people there, but I really think there were more, like maybe 10,000. There's just swarms of people there. I grew up in Tennessee, and I know that y'all have fire ant hills here, right? In Texas, they're probably everywhere. I remember as a kid, we would be out in the farm, and we'd find a fire ant hill, and you would just like kick it, and just swarms of fire ants, and you don't want them to get on you, at all. My brother and I could tell you some stories of things we would do, but we won't get into that right now. But I remember, and you know, thinking about that fire ant hill, that's kind of what it was like. I'm not telling you that the people there were fire ants, but there's just so many people. And I began to think about that man that said, we need more churches. We went out to the coast, to the beach that night, and we went out on this pier. It probably went a couple hundred feet out into the water. I remember looking back on the city. This was our last night in Mozambique. I was looking back on the city, and you can imagine just the large buildings, the lights that were there. It was nighttime. The lights from the buildings, the cars going by. And in this city, 3 million people. Very few churches that are preaching the truth. And I remember standing there thinking, wow, they're busy. They've got a lot of stuff going on. They've got lights. But certainly, the city of Maputo, Mozambique, is a dark place, a place that has very little light of the gospel. And it brought me to this passage thinking, you know what we really need in this world today? We need more light. I know this isn't really a complicated message. I'm from Tennessee, so you know I'm a pretty simple guy. But just simply, we need more light in this world today. Mozambique needs more light. Certainly, when you look at the darkness of this world, the darkness of America even, sad to say, that we need some Christians that would say, hey, I'll be a light for Jesus. We need some Christians that say, I will let my life shine even brighter and brighter and brighter for Him. That's what we need. We need some Christians that would take a stand. We'd take a stand in these days, in this dark world, to be a light for Jesus Christ. When we look in our passage here, Jesus is telling them, really, to let your light so shine. I wonder if we would like to be a greater light for Jesus today. Number one, this evening, we have to remember the source of the light. We have to remember the source. It's very clear in Scripture that the source of the light, it's not the sun. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 1, when everything was made, everything was created, you realize that in the very beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light? But you ever think that there was no sun, there was no moon until, you know, a little bit later in creation? Where do you think that light came from? It didn't come from the sun. It didn't come from the moon. It came from God Himself. That's where the light came from. If you look in John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn and read it. In John chapter number 1, we have this man named John the Baptist. He says in John chapter 1 and verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Here was a man named John. John, he was not the light. Jesus Christ was the light. And John was simply sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ so that all the world might believe. Hey, John, he was not the source. I'm not the source. You're not the source. Pastor, he's not the source. Jesus Christ, he is the source of the light. He is the source of the light in this world. He's the source of the light of the gospel. I praise God that, you know, when you really think about the gospel, when you think about what Jesus Christ has done for us, it really doesn't make sense to think that Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, would come and die for us. Why? We're not worth it. We're not worthy of His death to die for us, but praise God for His love. Praise God for His mercy and His kindness to us that He would come and die and make a way for us, make a way for people in Texas, even people in Tennessee and Georgia and all those, you know, all those places like that. Even people in the Northeast, praise God, right? People certainly in Mozambique. People in the Solomon Islands, people that are represented by all these flags hung up on your walls tonight, people that Jesus Christ has died for. If you look in the book of Acts, just a quick verse here in Acts chapter number 26, Paul's giving a testimony. He's really telling his purpose, telling what God has called him to do. And in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, the Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's what Jesus Christ really came to do. He came to take people from darkness to light. He came to take people from the power of Satan unto the power of God. He came to take people from the bondage of sin to forgiveness of sins, right? He came to take us from our sin unto His sanctification. Praise God for what Christ has done for us, Jesus Christ. He's the source of the light. We don't need to forget that. When we think about doing something for Jesus today, to be being a light for Him, always remember, hey, I'm not the source. Jesus Christ, He is the source. He gets all the glory for it all. I wonder if your light is shining for Him tonight. Look in Matthew chapter number 5. And look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Number one, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is the source of the light. But number two, we need to remember the operation of the light. What are you doing with the light that you've been given? I hope you've been saved by the grace of God tonight. I hope you've trusted Christ as your Savior. I hope you know that you have a home in heaven one day. If you do, you've been given a great light. You've seen the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, and it's a great responsibility that we have. What are we doing with the light that we've been given? I wonder what we're doing with it today in this verse. There's really two options. It says, really, for one, you can take this light and you can hide it away. Or you can set it up on a candlestick and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Really, when it comes down to it, it's not really two options. Really. You can hide it away and lost people in this world will never see and they'll die in their sins and go to hell. That's not really an option. We can't afford to do that. We need to let our light so shine. What are you doing with the light that we've been given? Often in our world today, in our American Christianity, a lot of times we just hide the light. We hide it away. We're not a light like we should be for Jesus Christ. Why do we hide it? Why? Why do we do it? I know I'm the one preaching, so I'll just be honest with you. I'm guilty of being one that has hidden my light. I'll just be honest with you. I'd say we could all go around and we could all confess our sin and we could all get it right. But we all have done it. There's no doubt about it, but we shouldn't. Why do we do it? Maybe it's because we're ashamed. God help us, right? Ashamed of the light that we've been given. Maybe we just are fearful of maybe what people think. Let not that be said of us. Maybe we doubt that we can really be used by God. Well, if we just do what God wants us to do, God can make a difference. God can use us. Maybe we just like to be comfortable. Or maybe we don't like to be inconvenienced. You know, sometimes it's inconvenient to be a witness. Sometimes it's inconvenient to be a light. But I praise God that someone inconvenienced themselves for my family. I'll tell you a quick story. When my parents, they got married, before they were married, my dad didn't go to church. He didn't get saved until he was 30 years old. One day he went to the grocery store in the little town that I grew up in, and he went through the checkout line, and there was a young lady at the cash register that said, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? We're having Friends Day, and you can be my friend, and you can come and come to church with me." And my dad, he didn't have the right intentions. He thought, why would I go to church? Why would I do that? He hadn't been to church in years. But he thought, well, that girl was pretty, so I guess I'll go. Bad intentions. Praise God that he can use bad intentions for His glory, right? So my dad ended up going to church, and he kept going to church. He heard a clear presentation of the gospel. He got saved. I'm very thankful that my mom inconvenienced herself to share just a simple invitation to church. And God used that to change my dad's life and really to change my life because of what she did. I had the chance to be raised in a Christian home. Amen. And I just share that because, you know, it could be inconvenience us. But what a difference it can make if we would just be a light for Jesus Christ. I don't want anything to keep me from being a light for Him. I don't want anything to keep you from being a light for Him today. Does your light so shine? What are you doing with the light that you've been given? Listen, this world's not getting any better. This world's getting darker and darker and darker all the time. We need some Christians that would really be a light for Jesus Christ. Look in our passage again. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Number one, we need to remember the source of the light is Jesus. Number two, we need to remember the operation of the light. But number three tonight, we need to remember the visibility of the light. Look at our passage. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, "Let your light so shine in your house," which you should, right? You should be a light in your house, to your family and to your children. That's a good thing. It doesn't say, "Let your light so shine in your car on the way to work," even though you probably should do that too. But a lot of times we like to leave it in the car and then get out and go to work, right? We got to take it inside. What is this world going to see if it doesn't see the light of the gospel in one of us? The passage is very clear. It says, "Let your light so shine before men." It's not talking about being a light at church, which you should be that too. I hope you're understanding this. I feel like I'm being kind of redundant. But, you know, we should be a light at church. But it's really, the principle is that we should be a light to lost people in this world. Do we ever think, what is the lost person going to see if they don't see the light of the gospel in one of us? Where are they going to see it from? Who are they going to get the gospel from if they don't get it from a Christian? If they don't get it from one of us? If they don't get it from someone that loves Jesus? Who in this community is going to get the gospel if you don't share it with them? Who are they going to get it from? What's this world going to see if they don't see the light in one of us? You know, there's a place in Tennessee that I went a few years ago. It's called the Lost Sea. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it before. But it's a giant cave. It's in just a little town in Tennessee. It's a giant cave, and you go down into this cave, and there's actually a pretty big body of water down in the cave. And what happens is they take you down there, they put you on a boat, and they sail you across the Lost Sea. It's kind of fun, actually. You're giving me looks that are like, "What is he talking about?" But when I was there a few years ago, we got about halfway across, and they said, "Okay, just so you know, we're about to turn the lights off in this cave." And I'm thinking, "Lord help, don't do that." They said, "Probably for the first time in your life, you're going to experience something called total darkness. You're not going to be able to see anything." And then they cut the lights off. And I promise you, my eyes were getting really big. Like, I'm searching for light. I'm putting my hand in front of my face. I can't see anything at all. And I'm just really praying in that moment that the lights will come back on. It's like, we need those lights to come back on. How are we going to get out of here? In just a few minutes, a few moments, the lights come back on, and praise God, we got across the Lost Sea. We made it out of there alive. But the guide, he told us something that I thought was really profound. He said, "If you stayed in the total darkness like that for too long, you would lose your ability to see. You would totally lose. You would go blind." He said the fish that are down here in the water and the bugs and insects that are on the walls of this cave, they're blind because they've lived in total darkness for so long, they lost their ability to see. It made me, when I heard that, it made me think of this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. You could turn over there with me if you'd like. The passage says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the plan of Satan in this world today. He's blinded the minds of people. People have been living in total darkness for so long that they're blinded to the truth, blinded to reality, blinded to eternity. But if the glorious light of the gospel of Christ would shine forth unto them, what a difference that would make. What a difference it would make in this world today. People need just a little light. I think about that cave and think about the smallest, tiniest light. My eyes were searching for just a little light, a little tiny bit, makes an incredible difference. You realize that. You know, I think it's kind of sad when we think about this. There are millions, billions even, of people in our world today that are living in total darkness, totally ignorant to the gospel, totally ignorant to what Jesus Christ has done for them. And you know what else I believe is true? And it's kind of sad. It's probably not the case here, but I think there are churches all over America right now that they are totally blind to the realities of this world. They're just living in this little shell, this little bubble, and they're blinded to the reality of millions of people that don't know Jesus Christ. And they're not being a light for them. Let not that be said of us. Let not that be said of this church. And certainly, I don't believe it is. I believe this church is a light for the gospel. And that's such a blessing. It's a huge blessing that you have here. Here, these people, they were blind. They were blind because they didn't have any light. What is this world going to see if they don't see one of us? You know, often this world, I believe, sees Christians. Or Christians, let's put it that way. They see Christians that are too busy to do anything for God. They see Christians that are too busy to love other people. They see Christians that love the world more than they love the church. They see Christians that don't really love Jesus like they're supposed to. I wonder what this world sees in us. What does this world see in you? When there's so many people totally blind, can they see the light of the gospel in one of us? What are you doing with the light that you've been given? And last of all, let's look again in our passage. Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." The source of the light is Jesus. We need to remember the operation of the light, what we're doing with the light that we've been given. We need to remember the visibility of the light. What is this lost and dying world going to see if they don't see the gospel from one of us? And last of all, we need to remember that the purpose of the light is to give glory unto the Father in heaven. That's the purpose of it. It's the purpose of the light is not so that we can have a great name. The purpose of the light is not so we can really look good at church. We're not supposed to get glory for ourselves. We're supposed to get glory for God. I wonder who we're shining for. Are you shining for yourself? Are you shining for your pastor? Don't do that. Even though that would be, I guess, good in some ways, but we're supposed to be shining for Jesus. Don't shine so you can be the best at church, but shine for Jesus Christ so that God in heaven may get glory. I wonder, can someone see the light of the gospel in you? I wonder, does your light shine for Jesus? Are you being a light for the gospel today? I wonder if you'd like to be more. Maybe you're already being a great light. I hope you are. You probably are. But maybe you would like to be a greater light for Jesus. Maybe there are people around you that need to know Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to shine unto someone in your family that's living in sin, living in wickedness, and they just need someone to shine to them. Maybe you've got coworkers. They're lost. They're on their way to hell. They need someone. Who's it going to be? If it's not one of us, if not you, then who, right? As the song said this morning, if not you, then who? If not now, when? Would you like to be a greater light for Jesus today? That's what we need in this dark world that we live in. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your many blessings. Lord, we sure do thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the truth that you've given to us, Lord. We ask that you'd help us, that we would be a greater light for you. Lord, there may be someone here that's never really experienced the light of the gospel that you've given to us so clearly in Scripture. May you work in that individual's heart this evening, that they may come to Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. Help us, Lord, all to be a greater light for you, that we may be a greater witness, a greater light, a greater impact for you in this world today, all for your honor and for your glory. We love you so much. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.